So without further ado, we'll begin with Sarah Donahue-Rolf. She is a project manager at the National Institute for Children's Healthcare Quality. She works in the Best Bed Beginnings Project to help 89 hospitals reach baby-friendly designation. Sarah?
Thank you. Before I get started, I just wanted to quickly introduce. How do I move the slides? Pause for a second.
I hear the arrow. Right there, we'll bring you down. Oh, that's on. Let's try escaping going out again.
Just some technical difficulties.
There we go. Are we not going backwards?
Nope, we're going forward.
Here we go. So backwards, forwards.
Okay. All right. So NICHQ is a nonprofit organization based here in Boston, and we work to make children's health and healthcare better through quality improvement. We work with healthcare professionals, delivery organizations, government agencies, and community organizations to make meaningful and sustainable improvements that allow children to achieve their optimal health. Just very quickly, the objectives for this session include identifying emerging lessons based on the Best Bed Beginnings Project, explaining how hospitals in the project are changing maternity care practices, and describing how to use QI to make system-level changes to support exclusive breastfeeding. Before I go into the project, I just wanted to very quickly review why there was this need for a new approach and why the Best Bed Beginnings Project. Breastfeeding has been shown to have significant benefits to both the mother and the baby. For babies, these benefits can include decreasing the risk of infant mortality and childhood obesity and enhancing their neurodevelopment. And for mothers, the benefits include decreasing the risk of type 2 diabetes and breast and ovarian cancer and enhancing their earlier return to post-pregnancy or pre-pregnancy weight. However, despite these benefits, mothers are not breastfeeding for as long as they intended. 75% start breastfeeding and only 16% are exclusively breastfeeding at 6 months. And 60% of mothers say that they did not breastfeed for as long as they had intended. Some of these reasons include problems with latch, problems with milk flow, poor weight gain, and pain. And many of these issues can be addressed while the mother is still in the hospital. In 1989, the World Health Organization identified and codified a set of practices that identified the environment that best supported breastfeeding, and these became known as the 10 steps to successful breastfeeding. In 1997, Baby-Friendly USA became the sole designating authority in the U.S. to recognize a hospital that had successfully implemented all 10 steps. The 10 steps, as you can see here, are designed to educate hospital staff, physicians, and patients on the benefits and management of breastfeeding. They also identify the key practices that are needed to support a mother's choice to breastfeed. Evidence has shown that the more steps that are in place in a hospital, the more likely a mother is to breastfeed and for longer periods of time. However, not many hospitals have actually implemented all 10 steps or been designated as baby-friendly. In fact, fewer than 7% of babies in 2012 were born in a baby-friendly hospital. The Best Bed Beginnings Project really hopes to address this gap through our mission, and the project is supported by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and is working in close partnership with Baby-Friendly USA to promote exclusive breastfeeding by creating environments in which a mother's choice concerning breastfeeding can be supported by enabling hospitals to earn baby-friendly designation and by raising awareness and interest in breastfeeding maternity care practices and baby-friendly designation. We're using quality improvement to meet our mission. We use the IHI Breakthrough Series model, which is designed to translate evidence-based research into clinical practice. We started our project with an expert meeting where we had experts from within the field from across the country come together and help us refine our measurement strategy, identify some gaps, and identify key changes that are needed to address those gaps. From there, we recruited hospitals. We currently have 89 hospitals in the collaborative, and the project includes 3 in-person learning sessions during which the hospital teams learn how to apply quality improvement in their own work, report out on the changes that they have tried, and share progress to date. In between the learning sessions, the teams participate in action periods where they test changes, collect and report data, and participate on monthly webinars to share ideas and resources. We just had our final learning session in October, and the teams are now starting their 3rd and final action period. In order to make significant improvements, the hospital teams had to learn how to use the model for improvement. The model for improvement is a structured approach that stresses prediction and measurement for change evaluation. The teams conduct Plan, Do, Study, Act cycles, also known as PDSAs. These PDSAs are initially meant for a very small scale in order to quickly identify promising ideas and adapt and develop them into robust, reliable, standard processes. Our collaborative aim, or what we are trying to accomplish, is to enable 89 hospitals to be designated as baby-friendly by September 30th, 2014, or to have a baby-friendly site visit scheduled. Our project conducts 3 concurrent learning collaboratives, which are organized by region. All of those little blue dots on the map represent a Best Fed Beginnings hospital. We have Region A is 33 hospitals in the southeast, Region B is 23 hospitals in the northeast and mid-Atlantic region, and Region C has 33 hospitals in the Midwest and Western regions. This is our measurement strategy. Our outcome measures include exclusive breastfeeding rate, the rate of breastfeeding babies supplemented with formula, and the overall breastfeeding rate for the hospital. The process measures are really based on the 10 steps to successful breastfeeding, and the hospitals initially were collecting these through chart reviews, and they have since now also begun to interview mothers to attest that these practices are in place. As mentioned, the hospital teams are running regular PDSAs, and some of those PDSAs include a patient education flip chart, which was designed to implement step 3 of informing pregnant women of the education of the benefits and management of breastfeeding, eliminating the nursery pit stop after birth, and using the Wait Can Wait posters, instituting a formula sign-out sheet to reduce the supplementation rate, designating a baby nurse in the OR to help with skin-to-skin, and developing a cart on wheels to encourage rounding in rooms. I wanted to share a few examples of our progress to date and some of the successes that we've seen in the project. This is the exclusive breastfeeding rate, and it shows 14 months of data for the average hospital performance, and we use the baby-friendly definition, so it includes late preterm infants, and it represents the total number of babies exclusively breastfeeding over the total number of breastfeeding babies eligible. At the start of the project, the baseline median was about 42%. We have since seen an increase in the direction of goodness, as our improvement advisor would say, and we now have a revised median of about 54%. Our goal is 90%. However, baby-friendly designation requires 80%, but we're just asking the hospital teams to go above the requirement. We do think that through continual education and PDSAs that we will continue to see this rate increase. This graph shows the average hospital performance for babies going skin to skin within 5 minutes of birth after a vaginal delivery through the first feed or for at least an hour. Again, we've seen improvements on this project. Our baseline median was at about 26% at the start of the project, and it's since improved to 54%. We think that as the teams continue to improve in this step, we'll also see that rate of exclusive breastfeeding go up. The last example of progress to date I wanted to share was for rooming in. This is the average hospital performance across all regions for the percent of infants who roomed in with the mother for at least 23 out of 24 hours. We started with a baseline median of 22%, and it's now at 45%, and we do continue to see this also improve and expect that the exclusive breastfeeding rate will also go up. There are several key innovations to the Best Fed Beginnings project that we think are really linked to some of the successes that we've seen to date. The first is the Improvement Lab, also known as the iLab. It's a private website hosted by NICHQ, and it fosters a learning community for the hospital teams. The hospital teams are able to enter their data, they can look at graphs, they can compare themselves to other hospitals in the region. We also have a very active discussion board on the iLab, so the hospital teams are able to post questions, reply to each other, and we also have our faculty members on there as well posting. And then we also have NICHQ and our faculty and the hospital teams posting and sharing resources, and we think that this has really helped to accelerate improvement because the hospitals are not needing to continuously recreate the wheel. They can look at some of the successes from other hospitals and just tweak those to fit their own hospital setting. At the start of the project, and through our expert meeting, there was a recognition for the importance that leadership plays in overcoming barriers and sustaining changes. The Best Fed Beginnings Collaborative integrates a leadership track with a curriculum that addresses specific leadership tasks required to achieve designation, such as developing action plans, how to present to the administration on the results of the project, and how to make the business case for baby-friendly designation. One of the challenges that some of the teams have come into is around step 3 and step 10. Again, step 3 is informing all pregnant women about the benefits and management of breastfeeding, and step 10 is fostering the establishment of breastfeeding support groups and referring mothers to those groups upon discharge. This challenge has been that the hospital teams have had to work with their community in order to access community resources. And to help them implement these steps, the project has partnered with the United States Breastfeeding Committee and in order to build community linkages by fostering relationships between the 89 hospitals and their respective state breastfeeding coalitions in order to provide and foster the development of programs that make education available to pregnant women and to establish the partnership for integrated and continuous follow-up care after discharge. The last key piece I wanted to share was around mother engagement. All of NICHQ's projects really value the role that the patient can play in quality improvement. And for BFB, we required that every hospital team engage at least one mother on their team. And this mother had to have delivered at the hospital within the past 2 years. And we asked that they not be a hospital employee, since a mother from the community brought a different perspective that they weren't getting elsewhere. To ensure the mother's engagement in the project, we invited them to the second learning session, where we had a specific breakout session for them. And there was also a plenary session about how to engage mothers in quality improvement. Additionally, the mother partners participate in bi-monthly webinars and are active on their own Facebook page, which they created shortly following the learning session, and they're able to interact with each other, share resources, and brainstorm ideas that they can bring back to their own hospital teams. Before I end, I just wanted to quickly acknowledge a few organizations and people. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Baby Friendly USA, the United States Breastfeeding Committee, our 89 hospital teams, our faculty and NICHQ project teams, some of whom are in this room right now, and APHA for having us. Thank you.
We have a few minutes for questions. I have one while everyone's thinking of a question. On the rooming in, you had a big significant increase. Was that number of hospitals that have rooming in or the number of patients within a hospital? I mean, which one?
So it's the average hospital performance. Okay. So it's not the number of hospitals in the collaborative that have instituted, but it's their performance of how many mothers in that period that they looked at actually received.
How are they tracking the 23 of 24 hours?
I think it varies by hospital. Some are able to actually track it in their EHRs. Others are doing it through just chart reviews and noting it. I don't know if Lori or Anne also want to add.
Some have patient logs, and some have sort of back-to-net logs. They have workarounds when the electronic health record or their paper chart doesn't capture that. But they're all responsible in their measurement strategy for reporting out on a sample size that is consistent with quality improvement, their performance in percent of rooming in 23 out of 24 hours on a monthly basis. So that's one of the report outs, and then this is a mean number, mean percent of all the report outs.
So are there hospitals that have yet to start any rooming in the collaborative, or they've all started it? Not many left. Most of them have started. So
yeah,
that's an interesting
process. To be honest, it's more like they have, they institute one bit at a time, so they get all the maps happening in the room, and then they'll get all the exams happening in the room, and then there's some pulled out somewhere that the pediatricians are still not doing the first examining. So each hospital's percentage of success is going off as they go along.
Because there's some questions about how do you get it going? Do you have like 8 hours in the day before the night, or how do you do it? It sounds like it's slower.
It's more step by step of like which pieces are not being done in the room. Because many of the hospitals started out thinking they were rooming in, and then realizing that they just thought rooming in was not having the baby in the nursery very much, as opposed to doing every single thing in the room, like that, the exam, the hearing test. So they have to add those things.
Well, the numbers are really impressive. The progress you've made is just tremendous.
But one of the other things about quality improvement is that the concept is to take one mom, one baby, and then to keep that one mom, one baby rooming in for 24 hours. So if they've done it once, then the idea is that they can then ramp up to more practitioners, more days, more babies. And that's how they can actually see that they're increasing their
percent. Can I tell you one story about 23 hours, 24 hours? We had several hospitals that said, okay, good. So I had this vision of like running down the corridors of the nursery, doing everything in an hour and running back. Well, we said you can't do that. Like 23 hours, 24 hours, that's just supposed to give you a little bit of wiggle room. You can't cram everything into an hour. So we had to sort of re-educate them in that. People were trying to fit everything into 1 hour.
Question at the back of the room.
I just have a suggestion. Benefit is really a word that we try not to use. We could say reason to breastfeed, and I think then that will normalize. Breastfeeding is the interfeeding choice. Okay, so that benefit word is really suggest reason.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Right, well, actually, if it's quick, Melissa, is it quick?
Okay. You made a ton of progress. There's still a ton left to go. What do you think the chances are of getting all those hospitals baby friendly, getting to the 85-90%? You need more learning sessions. Are you on the right track? You're doing great stuff, but just wanted to know.
Yep. I think that's the question on everyone's mind. I do think that our hospitals are posed to meet the designation or to have their site visits scheduled. We do have our action period where they are able to get the support from the faculty. We have content calls on a monthly basis, and we're also hoping to provide some site visits to some of the teams to give them the extra push. Yes, and we do have one that has been designated and 6 in designation phase.
Thank you, Sarah.